Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together.
Animals have been our companions since the dawn of history. We have been side by side with them since we could think, and many of them have become our pets. While most people may think of a cat or a dog, chickens can also be very dear companions. That's just what today's storyteller, L. Aloysia Adkins, has to share with us. Here's her story.
Well, my given name is Leah Adkins. I prefer L. Aloysia Adkins. My father was overseas when I was born, and when he met me, he named me Aloysius P. Cutelbaum. And Aloysia is actually the feminine form of Aloysius, so that is what I go by, is Aloysia, in honor of my father. I was the last person to graduate from Utah State University with any kind of a degree in the oral interpretation of literature. Mine is only a minor. I also have a minor in journalism. My major was liberal arts and sciences. I'm mom to 5, grandma to 17, and I do a lot of time on the road. And yeah, I'm a professional driver, but I'm working on getting a global peace building certificate from the Harare Peace Institute and a master's in social work from Utah State University. And I'm trying to convince all my grandchildren, but I don't get enough time with them, that they're supposed to call me Growly for Grandma Allie. Because growly just sounds, it's so much more fun to say. So, yeah, that's kind of me in a nutshell. I've been a storyteller, I think, my whole life. My father was the best model for that. He taught history for almost 30 years. And he is the best person on the planet to road trip with. He is just knowledgeable and brilliant and still very mentally on top of things and tells the best stories. So I think I came by it naturally. But I have a lot of stories to tell, and I've lived long enough to have a lot of stories to tell. One of my favorites. Over the years, I have learned that you should never laugh at anybody because you don't know what's coming at you. In 2019, longer back than that, 2010, I had a friend from Evanston, Wyoming, that told me that she decided, due to some health issues, that she wanted to keep chickens. So her husband had built her a chicken coop in their front room. And I laughed so hard. I said, "What are you talking about? Chickens in the living room. That is hysterical." But it was so cold in Evanston and she didn't want her chicks to get frozen. So they had built a chicken coop in the front room. And I laughed. I thought it was the funniest thing I had ever heard. Well, then I ended up married to a gentleman who had 4 children. 2 of them were still minors. And he had very positive memories of growing up and raising chickens with his family and at his home. And so one day I got this brilliant idea. And I said, "Let's buy chicks and you and your kids can bond over these chicks. You can have that experience with them." It was brilliant. It was awesome. And we went to the store and I knew nothing about chicks. I said, "I want bantams," because I knew they were smaller. "Well, what kind?" I said, "I want bantams," because I knew they were smaller. And we ended up taking home a box of 7 chicks They were so cute and fluffy and peeping and adorable. And it's February. So where did I put them? In my front room. Made sure they had water and they had the right food and they had the right heat lamps. And they, these little things are being babied. And they just start dropping dead. And I didn't know what to think. And I went to work and I'm telling the people I work with, oh my gosh, I got these chicks and they're just dying and I don't know what to do and what's going to happen. And I don't want them all to die. Am I doing something wrong? And they said, no, chicks die. I said, you're sure? Yeah, chicks die. Well, there was one chick in that original seven that when we had it in the store under false light, it looked gray. When we got it out in the sunlight and I opened up the box to look at them, this chick was green. I'd never seen a green chick. But this chick was green. It was a beautiful pale green. And I'm watching this chick. Now, I'm thinking I've got something special because I have a green chicken, right? And I'm watching this chick. And this stupid thing, he would lay down in the bottom of the cage and he'd splay out his legs. And I'd go, oh no, the green chick's dead. And we'd go to reach in and grab him. And he'd jump up and run around the cage and run around the cage like he was playing catch me if you can. And this went on. There's one day he was nowhere to be seen. And I was like, oh my gosh, the green chick's gone. And I get looking, and this stupid chick has laid down underneath all the other chicks like he's dead. And I'm thinking, this chick, there's no way it's under all the other chicks. There's no way this thing is still alive. Sure enough, the other chicks move. He jumps up, runs around the cage. And I'm thinking, you know, I want eggs. I got chickens for eggs. I have them in my living room. They've got to be hens. So I named this little green chick Absinthe because the alcohol absinthe is also known as the green fairy. And I said, this chick acts like he's drunk or she's drunk and she's green. So her name was Absinthe. And I watched that chick. Well, now I'm down to like four chicks. And one day I say, I've got to get more chicks. Four is not enough chicks. So I go to the store and I'm looking at the chicks. And there are all kinds of chicks. I'd gone to a different store. I'd been advised to go someplace else to buy more chicks and see if more of them lived. And I went, okay. So I went to get chicks. I call this the beginning of the chick addiction. I had no idea how much I would love chicks. But I went to the store and I'm expecting them to die. So I want to make sure I have enough. And I went home with, I think, 15 chicks that day, thinking that some were going to die. So now we're expanding the cage system in the front room for more chicks. And then I got home, I put them all there, none of them are dying. And there was something in my brain that said, chicks need to be like eggs. Chicks and eggs come in sixes, and you have 19. This is not sixes. Went back to this store. Now, I'm thinking I'm going to get, you know, a few more to bring it up to a six number. When I went home that day, I had 30 chicks altogether. Now, remember, I'm still expecting some of those chicks to just go, I'm done, and die. 30 chicks. Three of them were what are called Turkans. Not only were they Turkans, they were Bantam Turkans. Now, this is significant because I'm looking at these chicks. Turkans have a tuft of feathers on the top of their head and no feathers till they get down below their neck. These are not attractive chicks. And I look at these things and I ask the girl, what are those? And she says, oh, those are Turkans. Would you like some? I said, no, those are not cute. And she looked at me, and I swear it was one of those moments when you know you have a glowing S for sucker right in the middle of your forehead, because she looked at me and said, but Turkans need love too. And I said, okay, give me three. So I had three Turkans, and none of them died. In fact, none of those 30 chicks died. There's only one problem with having 30 chicks in my living room. It was a long, hard, cold winter. So instead of being able to take them outside in a month or so, the way I was expecting, they were probably in my front room for about 2 to 3 months. I'd say at least three, because I got them in February, maybe the beginning of March, and it didn't warm up and the snow didn't disappear till probably April, mid-April, beginning of May, before it was warm enough for them to go outside. By then, I wasn't smart enough to build an indoor chicken coop. I had a series of boxes in a maze that went all through my front room. It's a good thing I have a large front room. And these chicks, they all knew their names. Every single one of them had a name. Some of them, they got their names. Like Absinthe was Absinthe for a reason. There was one that had the longest feathers on its feet. It was a Cochin with these huge long foot feathers, and it was just fluffy. And we named that one Furball. Furball would come to his name every time he heard it. So these chicks had been socialized around people. They thought that people were really their breed. You know, we were all part of the same tribe in their minds. There was one, her name was Ladybird. And Lady was my constant companion. If I was at home, she was on my shoulder. When she finally went outside, she would go wherever I was. She always wanted to be with me. And so Lady and I had a really, really special bond. But 30 chicks. The thing was, when it was finally warm enough for them to go outside, they'd never seen grass. So I have 30 chicks I'm trying to introduce to the grass and the bugs and all the stuff they're supposed to like. And they're looking at me and lifting a foot and jumping around. And they were terrified of the grass. It took us so long to get them used to knowing that grass was where they were supposed to be. And finally, we got them all moved outside. And we still weren't getting eggs. We'd go outside. We would play watermelon catch with them. Chickens love watermelon. So I would take a watermelon out and I'd throw chunks of chicken. Or not chunks of chicken. I'd throw chunks of watermelon to the chickens. And a chicken would pick up the watermelon and all the chickens would run after that chicken until it dropped it. And somebody else would pick it up and all the chickens would chase it. And so we always played games with them like that. Like I said, they'd come to their names. They were awesome. And we'd put up a temporary fence. They knew that they were inside the fence. Unfortunately, we had a neighbor whose dog did not respect fences, temporary or otherwise. And I came home one day to about 15 dead chickens. We found Lady. at the neighbor's house on top of a car. She was pretty badly injured. We took her home, and I actually kept that chicken. Here I am, laughing at someone for having a chicken coop in their living room to start this story. And now I have a chicken laying in a box. I think I just put a towel down in my bed and that chicken slept with me. I checked on her. I gave her medicine. I gave her water. I babied that chicken all night long because she had just been she was my chicken. Unfortunately, about 7 minutes after I left for work, I swear she did it on purpose. She waited till I left for work, and then she passed and went over the Rainbow Bridge. And that was hard. But chickens grow up. My little Abby, my absinthe, I was so thrilled to find out what color eggs I was going to get from my little green chick. She ended up being a self blue old English was the breed. I found it out. And they really are green chicks. And she was a bantam. She was very, very small. And I loved little Abby. And I was so excited to see just what color eggs I was going to get from Abby, my little crazy green fairy chicken. And one day we're outside playing and Abby walks up to me and I was like, "Hello, baby, how are you?" And Abby looked at me and crowed. The most pathetic crow I'd ever heard, and it broke my heart because somehow I knew if Abby was crowing, I was never going to find out what color eggs Abby would lay. Abby stayed with me for a long time. Furball ended up. Furball, you could call Furball, and he would just come running. And he was a bantam blue cochin. So he was also very small, but he was very fluffy. He had a couple of blue cochin hens, too. But, hey, Furball, and he would just come trucking across the yard. Well, it got to where he would come trucking toward the sound and run into the fence. Or if he was up on the front porch with us, he'd all of a sudden fall off the side of the porch. And we realized that a poor Furball had gone blind. He was not completely blind, but he couldn't see where he was. So for a long time, I took Furball back into the house. I tell you, it's a chick addiction. And once you get to know them and you've bonded with them, they're family. They're like cats or dogs. They like to be petted. They're just fun. And I was so worried about what was going to happen to Furball being blind and outside. I took him back in the house and he had his little box. Now, one thing I learned through this process, I never bought any. I just couldn't. But it cracked me up. Did you know you can buy something called poultry panties? They make diapers for chickens so you can keep them in the house. I didn't buy any. I just kept Furball boxed up. He had his own little playpen area that he could play in. But it was funny because I got up super early in the morning to go to work and I'd turn on the lights and he'd see the light and start to crow. So I used to call him my organic alarm clock. Unfortunately, not everybody loves chickens. And I have neighbors that just don't. So my chickens have become a sad, fun, distant memory because they didn't think that the fence should hold them in. And my neighbor, who is not a fan of bugs, still couldn't understand that chickens eat grasshoppers. And when I had chickens in my yard, I never had giant spiders in my house. But someday I hope to be able to once again feed my chick addiction, start over from the beginning, and socialize them to be my house pets. My friend, who built her chicken coop inside the house, actually house trained her chickens. I saw it. If they needed to go outside, they would go to the door and scratch just like her dog. So they're not as stupid as we think. And that's the story of the chick addiction.
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, L. Aloysia Adkins, for sharing her story. She is a member of the Utah Storytelling Guild. Be sure to check her and the Guild out at utahstorytellingguild.website. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.